This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now on Joy 94.9, this is The Glow Show with your host, Victoria Police LGBTI Liaison Officer Gabrielle Tyack, Joy's own Will Lanting, with a range of Victoria Police staff and Joy volunteers coming together to inform and support our diverse LGBTI communities. Here is The Glow Show on Joy.
And welcome to The Glow Show, Joy 94.9. I'm Will, and obviously I am joined here by our favourite leading senior constable, Gabby Tyack. How are you, Gabby?
It's my last one.
I know.
For a week or so.
A week
or so.
My heart stopped then for a second when you said it's your last one.
No.
Where are you going? You can't do this without
Canada.
Me.
Canada. I don't know the song, otherwise I would sing it, but Canada. Off to Canada.
Off to Canada for a little bit of work or a little bit of play.
Little tiny holiday and... at a conference.
A conference?
I'm presenting at a conference.
Oh, wow.
To the Canadians.
Oh, excellent. They ride horses over there.
I thought they ride moose.
They'll probably do ride moose as well.
I'm going to ask if I can ride a moose.
And they drink...
Like we hop around in kangaroo pouches.
Exactly.
Similar to the
koalas dropping out of the trees attacking you. Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
No, you'll love Canada, and it is a fabulous place, and I really hope you have a safe and happy trip.
I'll have stories when I get back.
You will have stories.
And photos.
You would have made some friends and photos, which we will try and put on our Glow page.
We'll do our best.
We will do our best. Now, tonight, we have a wonderful guest. Now, as I've always talked about, LGBTI youth. Is a little sort of passion of mine. I am concerned about young people not communicating with police very well. They have fears within themselves or fears of the police. And so these are some of the issues that I like to talk about a lot and address. So who do we have in tonight?
So our special guest tonight is Sergeant Jared Kenny from the Specialist Children's Court Prosecutions Unit, which is a mouthful.
Jared.
Hi, Jared.
Welcome to The Glow Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, I've never spoken to anybody from the courts, and especially a prosecutor, so we're going to have to talk a little bit about that and explain that to me, what the role involves and what... exactly do you do there?
Yep.
I've barely had a parking ticket in my life. I'm a goody two-shoes. So you know nothing about court, so I'm dying to find out all about it. But you are a police officer, sworn police officer?
I am. I graduated from the academy in 2000. It started 2002, so just 7.5 years ago.
Oh, so, excellent. Yeah. So what made you become a police officer?
I saw it as an opportunity out. So I finished school, wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, went to uni. I decided on the Thursday, in my first week, I didn't want to keep doing this course. I then reluctantly stepped out of uni, from my mother's point of view, and then just saw an opportunity with Victoria Police, in a bit of a recruiting drive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it might be a fit for me. I don't mind looking after, taking care of the community, looking out for the community. It's sort of something that I always had a passion for at school as well, being involved in different things at school. So I thought, yeah, it might be a good chance for me, and went into the academy and just loved it. So
after the academy, where did you go from there?
So I spent the first couple of years at Knox Police Station out east, and mm-hmm. then after that, a couple of different places, Nutter Wadding. Also spent some time at some different divisional tasking units, went to Prahran Police Station from there, and then between Prahran and St Kilda for a couple of years, and then in 2010, I think it was, I went to prosecutions and haven't looked back. So, yeah.
Now, you said you dropped out of uni, but we had a little chat before, and it sounds like you've gone back to uni to study.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Good on you.
Yeah, so I got through the prosecutor's course that we have to do at prosecutions, did that for a few years, started looking at different options, looked at some options overseas as well, and then I thought, I might just try and give this law degree a bit of a crack, because obviously I was exposed to the court system a fair bit, and then just started studying just a couple of units at a time, and so my wife and I, she was okay with it, so that was obviously a big help, and just doing a couple of units at a time, chipping away at it over about 4 or 5 years. Last couple of years got a bit difficult because we've got a young child as well now, so that made it difficult study-wise. But yeah, just persisted with it and got through and finished the law degree and finished my what they call a graduate diploma, and then got admitted to legal practice earlier this year. So it's a good feather in the cap. So
a lawyer.
A lawyer, that is excellent.
And you were saying that there's not many lawyers in the prosecutions.
No, so there's a fair few people studying at the moment, but and it's becoming more popular to do. But yeah, ever increasingly there's more and more. But yeah, there's not. I think there's probably about 15 or 20 at the moment. So it's yeah.
And do Victoria Police support you or pay for you to do that degree?
Oh, they support you in providing you with the study leave to do exams. They support you with regards to obviously getting the time to do it. No monetary support, unfortunately, but you also, having completed the prosecutor's course, there's a fair bit of recognised prior learning that goes towards a law degree. So you get about six or eight of the 32 subjects knocked off from having been not only a police officer but a police prosecutor, so that helps out as well. So
you're on the Glow Show, Joy 94.9. We're speaking to Sergeant Jared Kenny from the Specialist Children's Court Prosecutions Unit. Now, I'm intrigued. Tell me a little bit about the Specialist Children's Court.
So, Specialist Children's Court is, obviously, it's a children's court, mm-hmm. and we focus on the youth, obviously, youth offenders.
So, what age are we talking?
We're talking anywhere from, pretty much anywhere from 10 right up to 18. Now, we can have children in there that are older than 18, but the offending must have occurred prior to them turning 18.
Okay, so that raises a question. So if I was 17 and 6 months and very naughty, stole a car and did some scallywag stuff, mm-hmm. obviously the process takes a while, I'll be 18. Mm-hmm. Will I be charged as a minor or as an adult?
As a minor.
Okay.
As a minor.
Because the offence carried out is in those minor years.
Yes. If you're charged prior to your 19th birthday, then you go to children's court. And if it's after your 19th birthday, there's a bit of an issue, but yeah, you'll go to the magistrate's court.
That sort of raises another question is that we do have 18, you're an adult. Is there any thought or any process given to some people who, although they might be 19 or 20, they're still intellectually 15 or 16, you know? And yeah, it kind of doesn't seem fair that they may have committed the offence when they're 19 years old, but, you know, is there protections for people like that?
There is to an extent, and that's where a magistrate in the adult court can use their discretion. Mm-hmm. They can obviously, with any disposition that they give the young person, they can say, well, we'll tailor the sentence to something that could not only help you, can help the community, but also reflects the offending that you did. So if that young person has some a need for some medication, if they're unwell, if they've got social issues, if they've got any other issues, they can tailor the disposition that they get. Well, and it might be a case of, well, okay, well, you did the offending that you did. Well, if you stick to your medication for the next 6 months, then these matters will go away. Something like that. So.
We're finding sometimes that people or young people younger than 10 are offending. Mm-hmm. So what happens to them? I mean, I know that they're children, but you're saying that, that no one's prosecuted who's 10's kind of the earliest age that they're prosecuted.
Pretty much, that's right. And even some kids that might offend when they're 12 or 13 or 14 or whatever it might be, if it's found that they only have the intellectual ability of, say, a 6 or 7 year old, then there's a legal argument that can be had about whether they had the mental capacity to understand what they did was seriously wrong. And that's what there's an old Latin term called doli incapax, whether that child had that ability to have that reasoning amongst themselves. So, and that's a very in-depth legal argument that involves a lot of psychiatrists and their assessment of these children. And there's reports made, it is a really interesting space to look at. We've actually got a prosecutor at the Specialist Children's Court that is also a doctor of psychology, and she's able to read those reports and have a look at those reports and say, well, I agree with this doctor's assessment of the child, or I disagree, and for X amount of reasons. So, and that's something that is very useful to us when the matter goes to court and there's an issue about whether we believe that this child has that mental ability or not. So it's
so Jared, explain what's the difference between a child's court and a normal adult's court. So if I was to steal a car and drive it 120 k's down the road and commit an offence at the age that I'm at, in my 40s, if someone was to do it at the age of 14, what's the difference between the two courts that we would go to for the same offence?
Well, it's sort of legislation for the Children's Court provides that the main thing that we're looking at in regards to a sentence is to rehabilitate the child. Mm-hmm. So the main focus of the magistrate is to say, right, what can we do to get this child back on track, to not get them offending and to get them essentially on the straight and narrow. And that, and they look at things like housing, they look at things like education, whether they're going to school, and then they can give the child a disposition or a sentence at court that involves them, that says to them, well, hang on, you're going to be a good boy. And how are you going to do that? Is by going to school, by going to appointments with medical practitioners, or so be it, to be able to make sure that those issues are addressed.
So you go through a due diligence to ensure that this child's had, this could just be a one-off offence where he was influenced by a group of people pressured. Mm-hmm. And so you would see a history that, you know, this child has had zero history. So that would be taken in consideration much more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what about a child who does have a history? So what gets involved then?
Well, then it's a big balance of not only providing the rehabilitative supports, but also there might be a need to punish the young person if they've committed 18 armed robberies and they're going out committing 19 and 20 armed robberies, and they've had opportunities at court and they haven't learnt from that, or they haven't taken upon the opportunities that the court gave them, then the court can sort of turn its head to, well, we've given you all these opportunities and you haven't taken that up. We've given you this opportunity and that opportunity. The only other thing that we can do is look at giving you a custodial sentence. And that's a last resort for the court. The court doesn't like doing it, which I understand, because they want to rehabilitate these kids. But sometimes it's a position, that's the only position that the court's put in.
Challenging stuff. You're listening to Sergeant Jared Kenny from the Specialist Children's Court on The Glow Stage. Stay tuned for some more. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Glow Show on Joy. Back soon.
Your community is our business.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. This is The Glow Show on Joy.
You're on The Glow Show with Gabby and Will, and we are talking to Sergeant Jared Kenny from our Specialist Children's Court Prosecutions Unit. We've been talking about what role the Specialist Court Prosecutions Unit plays with young people and how that's different than adult courts. We've also been talking a little bit about how Jared joined the police and what roles he's had in there. I'd like to come back to your role as a prosecutor, because I guess some people might not really understand what a prosecutor is and where you get the information you use at court.
Okay, so the prosecutor essentially is the representative of the Crown, the representative of the state, prosecuting these matters and representing the police case to the court. So we have, obviously, we've got a lot of prosecutors in Victoria Police, and those prosecutors are obviously trained to do all different types of courts, but specifically in relation to kids' court, where they're not only to represent the state but to also give opportunities to kids to be able to address their offending, be that through different court dispositions, and also support them as well. I know for me, there's been a few times where I've seen that a child might need a certain type of support in the community. Recently, we had one through the Children's Court, Children's Koori Court, where the child needed a little bit more help with having proper accommodation set up for them. So you step, even though you're the prosecutor, even though you're there representing the state, and essentially you're there representing the police, you've got to try to help these kids as well. So you've got to, if there's an opportunity for me to try to help them in the long run, all for it. So, and if it helps address their offending, then not only the child wins, but the community wins as well.
And so the police conduct an investigation when a crime has been committed. Mm-hmm. They conduct the investigation, they identify an offender, they put the brief together, and then that's the sergeant then...
A sergeant will authorise a brief.
That's right. I forgot the word. Thank you. Sergeant will authorise the brief, and then it goes to you.
Yes, that's right.
So that person's given a date at court, and then that brief goes before you. You look through it, and then you use that information to prosecute the case.
Yes, and then we look at the charges. We look at the evidence that's contained in the brief. Obviously consider whether there's enough evidence to continue with a prosecution. The Office of Public Prosecution that essentially governs all prosecutions in Victoria asks ourselves a question: is there a likelihood of a successful prosecution? So we're going to go through all the charges, all the evidence, apply what the law is. That's both the legislative law and case law. And the case law is more specific about... Legislation provides what the offences are. The case law provides how those laws are applied. So then you look at the case law, you understand how it would be applied in certain situations, and then you apply that to the current situation. You think, well, have we got a likelihood of a prosecution win? Yep, and then the matter will continue, and whether it becomes a contested hearing or not ultimately isn't up to us, but it's us and defence. So that's something we've just got to constantly look at those briefs and have an understanding of that.
What I love about our community here in Australia, and especially Victoria, is that after also speaking to you earlier, we tend to focus more on rehabilitation as opposed to... as the Americans' term would call it, revenge, managing crime through punishment. So very much true. So can you give us some examples of how we would focus on rehabilitating and implementing a court order to exercise rehabilitation as opposed to a punishment scenario?
I think it's a case of it's important for the court to have an understanding of what social space the child was in at the time of the offending, and then looking at the different, have an understanding of that, look at where we think we need to get the child so they're in a social state where they're not going, or there's a very low likelihood of committing offences, and then put a plan in place to be able to address those issues. So once they're finished their involvement with the criminal justice system, the likelihood of them reoffending is very low. An example of that might be a child might have an alcohol problem, and they're going out and they're committing offences because of their alcohol problem. We then try to address that by going, right, let's get you into some Alcohols Anonymous, or let's get you some alcohol counselling. Let's put that in place. And then the court, while the matters are still before the court, over a couple of months, child will then try to integrate and try to benefit out of that program. So when it comes to sentencing, the court can say, all right, well, you had an alcohol problem in January when you committed these offences. It's now June. You've been alcohol free for 3 months. So instead of punishing you, we're going to recognise the work that you've done to get to this position, and then the court will give them probably a lighter sentence, so to speak. But end of the day, this kid is in a far better position than what they were when they offended, because they've addressed that alcohol issue. Where if we just had to punish that person from the outset...
And put them in an environment where it's probably going to exacerbate the alcohol issue.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Very much so.
You're on The Glow Show with Will and Gabby. We're talking to Sergeant Jared Kenny. We're talking about how we work very hard to rehabilitate young people when they come before the court. Now, apart from being a prosecutor, you're also a GLOW.
Correct.
And I'd like to ask, how did you get into that role, and at what point in your career did you become a GLOW?
Well, I only became a GLOW recently, but I've worked at both Paran and St Kilda Police Station, so that's obviously an area of Melbourne where there's quite a high percentage of the gay and lesbian communities in and around there. I've also had some personal experience with a family member who's gone through the struggles of identifying as a gay person, and I guess from a really young age I saw and recognise the importance of supporting people when they're going through that, because it is a big change for some people. So I think as a child, having gone through that and recognising that we need to support those people around us, that sort of stuck with me going through adulthood. And I joined police from an early age. I joined when I was 18. So that sort of that transition there was fairly quick. And it's sort of just something that I've always carried on through my policing. So,
and we know from a whole bunch of studies, that young people who are, belong to the LGBTI community have a lot of issues that other young people may not have, and that comes down to poor mental health, mental health, abusing alcohol and drugs, sometimes being homeless because they're not accepted by parents, peers, family, and so. We sometimes see that in youth offending.
Absolutely. And it's a fine line for me as a prosecutor, because I've got to make sure that, number one, I don't step over the line and start becoming a social worker. But I think it's also important for me to be able to say, when there is that opportunity for me, to be able to say, hang on, there's these supports that we can put in place for you, or there's this that we can do, or there's that that we can do. And it's, and that comes down to providing that rehabilitative ethos that we have in children's court. So it's not taking over, so to speak, as a social person, but giving that person the opportunities that mightn't be presenting themselves to them in the court space at, of where they are. And we're going to make sure that we support kids going through, because it, obviously it's a massive change sometimes for these kids. And as you said, usually when there's at least one of these issues, be it alcohol or drugs, there's something else at play as well. And whether that is the case of they're not being accepted or not, that's what sometimes you got to do a little bit more digging to find out from them, because sometimes they don't want to come out and say it. So that's where you got to give them that supportive space, but not push them at the same time as well. So,
and we love having GLOWs in so many different areas in Victoria Police, because we know that they're needed, and even places you don't think you would have one, you may have a strong need for it and identify issues that police who aren't LGBTI liaison officers or haven't been trained in relation to looking for that.
So, and I think, and, I think it's really important that we help identify that, but I think it's also important that we try to bring our colleagues around us that aren't GLOWs to pretty much be doing the same role. And that, in my workspace, that certainly does happen. So,
Jared, what's some of the, obviously you see a lot of issues come through the court. What's some of the trending problems that you see at the moment that really the youth out there should really be talking about to their mates and keeping an eye out for each other on? What's some of the time and time again issues that are coming, problems that are coming through the courts now?
Drug use. It is just drug use. It is what... How do I put it?
A driver?
It is a massive driver for a lot of these kids that, that we deal with. And a lot of the time they've been influenced by others into using it. And it's a massive problem that we're facing at the moment, I think. And that's something that we need to be able to try to take head on. And we need, I think certainly in the kids' space, kids are influenced by other kids a lot. So I think we really need to drive that inclusive and supportive environment amongst the younger people in our community to support each other going through things. Because sometimes, I know when I was a kid, it was looked upon to be a bit silly to try and support somebody. I don't need that. Well, we need to recognise that as adults we need support, but as kids need support just as much as
they
adults.
Need each other a lot more.
Absolutely.
And kids listen to each other too.
Yes.
Once again, I say we need to encourage, just talk about the issues, keep an eye out for your mates, and that's the most powerful thing you can do. What about road issues? You know, we're having problems with a lot of kids on the road.
I think the issues with that is where kids are really stealing cars. No. And when they're stealing cars, more often than not, they're under the influence of either drugs or alcohol.
So we always get back to drugs.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and like LGBTI youth, they're probably also prone to being victims of drugs and alcohol because they're having to deal with who they are. And
that's
once
right.
again, leads them to behaviours and ends up in front of yourself.
Mm. And probably family violence comes into that as well.
Of course. Mm. Of course.
Always one of our big issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, Victoria Police wide. It is a massive issue, and we've just got to make sure that in our space at Kids Court, we've just got to make sure that we support the kids as much as we can as police officers, and make sure that they're getting the support that they need. And if there's an opportunity for us to step in, we step in and do it. So,
Sergeant Jared Kenny, it has been brilliant having you in tonight. I have learnt a lot. It's been a little bit of an eye-opener. It's fantastic to talk about some of the issues, which is great. And thank you very much for spending the time and coming in tonight. And we really love the work you do, and thank you for supporting us all in my community.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at court differently as a solution or a way for young people to get some help.
Yeah, and I think especially for youth, it's really important just to try to provide that supportive environment as much as we can. So,
and don't forget, talk about the issues among your mates.
Absolutely.
The most important thing.
Absolutely.
Gabby, we must go. You have a safe and lovely trip to Canada.
Canada is calling.
I will try and hold the Glow Show fort for you, and won't be hopefully too much of a disarray by the time you get back.
I'll see. I'll be waiting.
You've been listening to the Glow Show, Joy 94.9. Gabby, stay safe, and everyone out there, be good and stay safe. And thank you once again, Jared. We'll see you next week. Good night.
That's it from us today. Thanks for listening to another Glow Show on Joy. Tonight's episode has just been loaded to the Joy website and our podcast feed on iTunes. So if you missed anything important, you can hear it again now. Please support the volunteers who make the Glow Show happen by subscribing to our podcast and sharing them with your friends on social media. The Glow Show is produced by Will Lansing and Gabrielle Tyack and edited weekly by me, Jason Gibbs. See you next time on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.